Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. My name is Reed.
And I'm Zach.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Annie.
The Brady Bunch. I feel like we kind of look like the Brady Bunch on this Zoom.
We do.
Here's the story.
Yeah. This is the full It's About Bravo fam. We haven't all been on the mic together in so long. I think since the Salt Lake finale, the reality Von Tees of it all.
Yeah, maybe since the bad reviews.
Yeah, people were really upset that we had four people. And listen, we get it, guys. We are like a bull in a china shop when it's all four of us because we all fucking want to talk. So we have a little talking stick tonight and we're going to be very polite. We promise to make this a good experience for you. But all four of us needed to be on tonight because we want to talk about everything that's been going on in Bravo, everything that's not been going on in Bravo. Obviously, Beverly Hills, Vanderpump, all the things that we've been talking about. And so we have a lot to get into.
Yeah, there's so much to get into. There's lots, like, we are in a little bit of a Bravo drought, but that doesn't mean that we're not getting content in different areas, which is filming and behind the scenes and stuff. So without further ado, let's get into...
That's my opinion!
So the first thing that we want to talk about, and that's my opinion on this episode, is the Real Housewives of Orange County, because a picture dropped yesterday that made my pussy throb.
Shit, that make your pussy throb right there.
I was about to say my pussy's throbbing.
It literally got me so excited, and it was Tamra, Heather, and Alexis Bellino walking down a street on their current cast trip that they're filming right now. And I'm just like, this is like, we are so back. We are so back. I saw somebody tweet. They're like, if you would have showed me this picture in the like thick of like the season 15 COVID era, like I would have self-combusted. Like I wouldn't. I was like, absolutely. Like that was such a dark time. And the way that we have just slowly, like season by season, it was like, season 16, let's bring Heather in. Season 17, all right, let's bring Tamra back into the mix and Vicky here and there. And then now we have Alexis Bellino. We have this whole storyline with her dating John Jansen and Shannon Bedore and the DUI. And we have new people filming. And it's just like, it's just making me so excited.
I feel like because we went through such a drought with Orange County, it makes this so much better. Like, it makes us so much more excited to watch Orange County now because we dealt with the bad and we know how bad it can get. So now the thought of it getting better is so great. It also in a way makes me excited for franchises that are kind of flopping, like AKA Potomac right now, because we know that they can flop and then come back again. So it gives me hope for those franchises, because if you would have asked me about Orange County in season 15, that was hell, mama. That was hell.
Yeah, she was down bad. I'm worried for my girl Shannon, I gotta say. I'm excited, but I'm like very
eager. Where is she? I haven't seen her in anything. It's like Kate Middleton. Like, where is she?
She's getting a BBL.
She's getting a BBL. Is it Heather Dubrow's husband, Terry? Could
a plastic surgery.
Yeah, she's actually hidden away in their mansion just getting procedures done, like right now, actually. That's probably what's happening for sure. No, I'm worried for my girl because I think that I don't know how she's going to react to like having Alexis there and they're in love and everything. And I'm just worried. You know, I'm just worried.
Did you see the clip of John Jansen and Alexis Bellino? I think they were on like a red carpet.
Yes.
And they were getting interviewed about it by these nosy little gays.
I feel like the Bravo fandom is accepting it. I mean, we certainly love to see you guys together. How is Shannon feeling now that the cameras are back up and we're in the same vicinity as her?
You have to ask her.
Have you asked her?
No.
Do you care? Do you care?
I mean, I personally care.
Okay. We do care.
Absolutely.
We don't want to hurt. We're not here to hurt anybody, but you have to ask her for any questions that are regarding her.
John, as you navigate this relationship with Alexis, how are you being mindful of Shannon's feelings in all of this?
You know, at some point, it's not about Shannon.
Which was about yesterday, or a month ago.
Of course, I don't want Shannon to hurt. I wish her nothing but the best. But I'm focused on Alexis and I.
Because you guys decided to make this like a big debut, exciting, and you were even saying you guys are talking future. What are these future steps we're discussing? I'm moving in.
I cannot picture my life without her.
so maybe we'll graduate from a promise ring to the real thing.
I think probably.
And could we maybe see a wedding on Bravo?
Probably. I mean, not on Bravo. We're not airing our probably, but I mean, there's, yeah.
And I was like, this is exactly the kind of reporting and journalism we need on the front line.
Was it the Page Six gays?
Maybe it was like two of them. I don't know.
It was Evan Real. Evan Real, I think.
Well, they were like, so what are like, they were just like, they were really asking like debating questions. I'm not going to even try to be them, but they
do it. Yeah, like, do it.
Yeah.
Like, so it. Obviously the fans have been loving your guys' relationship. Anything you want to say to the press? Like, just very like,
what?
Obviously,
I've never heard a gay person say that. I've never heard a Bravo
like,
person say that.
They are putting him on the spot, but like, they answered, and essentially, you know, John Jansen was trying to be like nice about it. He's like, you know, I love Shannon. I don't want this to hurt. And then Alexis Bellino kind of like chimes in and is like, or he goes, we've been trying to keep it like respectful, or he goes, frankly, it's not about her. And then Alexis Bellino goes, and it has been for a minute. And just like,
yeah. So, yes. And she was like, well, I mean, I do care about how she feels, but this is about us. And then they were like, and then Evan Real was kind of like, do we see an engagement in the future? Horrible. A horrible game. I'm sorry.
No, you did good. That was good.
But she was like, I mean, probably. And they looked at each other and they were like, probably. Yeah. I think that's where it's headed. Like, so they're getting engaged, basically. So, yes, they're getting married. That's official. So, you know.
I do think this is worrisome for Shannon because she has arguments that paralyze her. So this, I can only imagine what this is going to do.
I also just want to say, like, we've been trying to be respectful. Like, where? Where have you been trying to be respectful? Was it you blasting all over Instagram your promise rings? Was it you blasting, like, that you call him Johnny J and you're, like, hugging all over and you're going on vacations together and you're just completely, like, flashing it all over? Like, you're not being private about it at all. So, like, my question is, where? Where are you being respectful? Because it's not here in this day in Orange County. It's not at the Quiet Woman. It's not, like, you're not being respectful.
Everyone's talking about being worried for Shannon, and no one is talking about being worried for Archie.
Oh,
because
God.
If he has to be in the passenger seat of that car on one bad night, which I'm worried
hashtag
about.
Hashtag pray for Archie.
Pray for Archie.
Well, I have something to say for you guys. Listen, here's the thing. Archie is going to be on this earth much longer anyway.
Don't put that energy out there. Oh, my God, Annie.
Don't say that.
He's old. I just hope that he's not like, see the day where Alexis Bellino and John Jansen get married. I hope that he's not here for that, okay?
Well, that's probably going to happen tomorrow, so I really don't want Archie to die tomorrow. But
you think we'll outlive the other? Archie or Ken Vanderbilt?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Kate Middleton.
No, Ken.
He's already dead.
Archie already outlived her.
Ken, I feel like when I'm watching Ken Vanderpump, like I'm watching like Weekend at Bernie's. Like,
yeah,
they're
literally.
Like moving him. He was asleep every single time I've seen him on camera.
Not Ken Vanderpump.
He really did. He sounded like an animatronic when he said in Scandaval season when he's like, oh, I can't believe Raquel stayed the night at Sandoval.
I can't believe
what?
That Tom Sandoval had Raquel over when Ariana's away.
I know.
In the jacuzzi as well.
What?
And she stayed all night. Yeah?
I know.
Are you lying?
I believe that.
Are you spreading rumors?
Marky, come on.
Well, there was a puppeteer like behind.
Tom
like,
Sandoval.
Well, yeah, it's funny because I've like, I think we posted this. I can't remember, but there's that clip from like season like one or I think it's season one of Vanderpump Rules. Ken has always been dropping the tea, like always been dropping the tea. Like there, when he talked about Laura Lee and Jax being found in the bathroom, he's like, did you hear that Laura Lee and Jax were found in the bathroom with a knickers down? Like his trousers were down and stuff like that.
He was in the billiard room
and,
with the candelabra.
Lisa's like, what? Like, no, they were not having sex in my establishment. You know, like, and then you flash forward 10 seasons later, he's like, do you hear Tom Sandoval?
Ken is getting
it wouldn't surprise me if he was leaking to Radar Online.
Literally.
I think he leaked the apple juice story.
He's giving like those Knives Out movies, like a character in that, like the old grandpa that like the whole movie you thought they were like dazed and confused. And then it turns out they like did it, you know, like they were the one, they pushed her down the stairs. Like that's like
put him and Monica Garcia on Traitors. I want to see
it.
Oh
my God. Oh my God.
Well, that actually makes a lot of sense because Lisa's always been like, I have never leaked a story to the radar online. But like, it's like, but Ken.
Yeah.
But her meat puppet.
I mean, like, even the first few seasons, Ken was like, I would feel like emasculated if I had to go to therapy with my wife. And it was like, oh, with Taylor Armstrong, you know, like he was
I do remember that.
Yes. He's a leak.
Very much the leak. Okay, so let's get into some more Bravo stuff. So speaking of Vanderpump, the Valley trailer dropped. And there was like a first Valley trailer. I feel like, I don't know what's going on with the Valley, honestly. But whatever they're doing is like actually kind of working in a weird way. Like it's on paper, it like doesn't work. But it's like, we're so like Vanderpump. Like the drug is like so ingrained into us, it's sick. Actually, it's actually sick. They came out with like this super tease where they were like kind of introducing the people who are on the cast, and everyone watched it and they were like, like, girl, like, what is this show, you know? And then now they released another trailer, and but mind you, while this is all going on, we're getting news that Jax and Brittany are like no longer, they're separated. Brittany's moving out. She's doing TMZ interviews on the street. Like it's 2006. Like, like she's moving out. She wants to do like, you know, co-parenting with him. We don't know what's going on. Did Jax cheat? Then this new trailer comes out where it's like kind of showing like the crumblings of the relationship. You got Lala talking about it. And then on the current season, in the recent episode of Vanderpump Rules, like all the girls like get together for like a lunch and they bring up Jax and Brittany's relationship, and Katie drops this bomb and goes, there's still stuff. I still hear tea all the time. There's still stories running around everywhere. So they're leading up to like, this is like Jax return and everything like that. And I gotta say, the new Valley trailer, cute Kim Richards. I kind of like you.
I kind of like you. It's kind of strange.
I kind of enjoyed it.
I'm interested between this and Vanderpump Villa on Hulu. I'm intrigued. And I'm not happy with Vanderpump right now. And so I feel like this could be my way out. I can like move on to their children.
Should we play a clip?
Yeah, let's play a clip of the Valley trailer.
Season on the Valley.
The Valley is hot, hot, hot. Christmas!
Go on your knees, and then what you can do is kneel behind.
That's how we got the baby in the first place.
I knew you were going to say that.
This one's so ovulated.
5 to 10 at 40 is great.
I have a beautiful son. I got a beautiful bar. I got money in the bank.
It's only a matter of time if you're going to be living with me.
So say that.
Divorced and miserable.
I feel like a marriage is so special.
And it's so frustrating because it feels out of my control.
Baby fever through the roof.
Bringing in another human being, it's worrisome to me.
I live for my kid.
Don't cry.
See, I can't even have an emotion.
No, you can't.
I don't feel like he's attracted to me. Like, we don't have sex ever.
It's so hard to be married sometimes.
There's a rumor about Jax cheating online.
You were texting, like, sexy pictures of yourself.
Do you want this relationship to work?
I don't know.
That's what happens when your friend's saying shit behind your back.
I don't know how to manage raising a child, raising a family, starting a business.
Do you think everybody was just as happy as us before they had kids?
Instead of caring about everybody else's feelings, maybe think like, is she okay?
Jen, just talk to me, please. Don't close the door on me.
I'm done.
You are through a lot, guys.
I know you are.
You're my f***ing husband, and you're trying to make me look like I'm a bad person?
She has a f-ing problem.
I will say something really quick to what Reed said about not enjoying Vanderpump, which I too have been struggling with it, but I haven't been on the podcast in like a couple of weeks since like Mexico. And so I had a couple Vanderpump episodes to catch up on, and it works much better in a little bit of a binge format. Like, I watched like two or three episodes back to back, and I was like, all right, like, this, it's not great. It's not amazing, but it's not as awful as when you're like watching week to week, hoping that something big happens in an episode and then it doesn't.
That's fair. I also think in the Valley trailer, there was a moment at the end where Kristen was like, I don't want to do this. If I wanted to do this, I would just be on Vanderpump Rules. And I was like, bitch, we all know you want to be on Vanderpump Rules instead. Bitch, please. Like, come on. Like,
I think
really want.
I think they originally pitched the Valley to be like more of a wholesome type show because it's more like relationships and taking a chance on adulting and all of that. And so maybe she thought it was going to be less drama filled. And the fact that, like, I believe her boyfriend's probably coming after her in this, that's kind of what it looks like. It looks like a lot of cheating scandals already. So it's very VPR coded.
Yeah, but like, you got Jax Taylor. Like, anything that Jax Taylor's in is not going to be wholesome. Like, it's just not.
I know there have been a lot of Vanderpump spinoffs that have been like rumored in the past or like canned. I'm not super familiar with all of them, but wasn't there supposed to be one initially that was like the Witches of WeHo? Like, wasn't it supposed to be Stassi, Kristen? There was never like a spinoff for those girls before everything went down.
There was going to be a Valley one that was Kristen.
I feel like the Valley has evolved because Stassi. I think what producers originally wanted the Valley to be included Stassi. I think they've had to pivot in the last few years.
Yeah,
maybe it got stalled because of COVID, and then maybe after Stassi and everything, they were like, "What are we going to do with this concept?" And now they have what they have.
What it was was when they had the younger blood coming in, which was Charlie and the boys that got canceled. That was the year they were trying to filter everyone out, and they were going to have a Vanderpump Valley spinoff, which was going to be like Stassi, Kristen, I think even Ariana and Katie and Jackson, whatever. It was gonna be like the married people. We're gonna be like the new blood show, the old blood show, and then the new blood was gonna be like
those terrible
James.
Well, it wasn't Philly. Because it was
it didn't work out though.
It didn't work out because of the racist allegations.
Yeah
and the racism.
Also, because it wasn't good. Forget that. It wasn't good. The show was not good with the young.
No, it wasn't good at all. But the COVID was what like stopped it all because of everything that came out that was originally. Yeah. So yeah, you're right, Reed. But I think this is gonna be. I mean, we have a lot of new people joining, so I'll be interested to see, like, if they can keep at the same level as, like, a Jax, Brittany, and Kristen who are used to this, or if they're going to, like, kind of fall to the wayside, like a new housewife trying to get their footing.
I have one thing to say. Jax's is a horrible restaurant name, okay? It should just be Jax.
Jax's.
Okay, why do you add the apostrophe S? It's a horrible
name.
Like,
or, like, go after, like, Zaxby's and be like Jaxby's.
Jaxby's,
and then Brittany. Jaxby's.
Do you guys know in Step Brothers when they go to get a loan and her name's Pam, but they keep calling her Pan?
Pan.
Panned.
With an
there's
M.
There's a D on the end.
There's no D. It's Pam.
It's like calm.
Here, it's P.
P-A-N-M.
M.
That was the
confusion. No, there's just one M.
And like, that's what I'm, I don't know why I thought of that when you started saying, when you said Jax's. I'm like, what?
So can I bring something up about the Valley that I started to notice when I was watching this trailer? Okay. And it's not about like VPR, it's about reality TV as a whole. And this, I'm allowed to say this. I want to say this to the listeners. I'm allowed to say this because I'm a gay man, so I'm speaking on my own community, okay? Why do gay men like not fit into the reality TV zeitgeist? Like, I don't understand why none of them ever land. Like, this, there's a gay in the show and it just feels weird. Mm-hmm. They tried to have two gays in Southern Hospitality.
Yep.
Weirdo. Didn't really make it. Then you have the other one that's like kind of like quieter. I feel like the only times they actually kind of shine is like on Big Brother or shows like that. But when it's like a reality story show, like where it's like following the lives of like a certain group of individuals, I mean, for God's sakes, like the gay community hated The Real Gays of WeHo, they despised it, like, literally got it off the air. Why do gay men like not work in reality TV settings? Like, I feel like lesbians almost work better. It's like weird. Like, do you guys feel that way?
Southern Charm too also did that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, like it's so often that because there's like so few gays represented on like mainstream television, A, they bear the weight of like representing all of us and that never works out. But I think also, even though gays love these shows, a lot of these shows are like centered around straight spaces. And living in like Boys Town in Chicago, I moved from Iowa here 3 years ago, and I moved here because I wanted to be in a larger, more vibrant and diverse like queer community, and I wanted that, and I'm getting to experience that now. And it's crazy because like it is a separate world, it's a separate bubble from the straight world that's just one parallel street over on in Wrigleyville. And even my straight friends, whom I love dearly and they love me dearly, I feel like our lives are almost like parallel paths. And so in a lot of these shows, it's like the housewives and their husbands and their families and then their gay friend. Like their gay friend comes over to like, you know what I mean? So that's kind of my point, is like, we're sort of relegated to the sidelines.
Yeah. In a not so nice way, I was going to say, it's because one, gays are very self-involved. You are, guys. I'm a gay man, so I can say that. I think gays are very self-involved. So when it's not totally revolving around them, they try to maybe turn the storyline onto them and it just falls flat and seems fake. They're also just so horny. So they just don't really belong in straight environments.
Oh my gosh. Okay. My theory is not necessarily about the straight environment. My theory is about the reality TV arena. And it's like, so for example, I'm trying to think of like, no, I'm not even going to try to.
But like Drag Race is an entirely queer space where they thrive.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like gays being such a fan of Housewives. Like, I'm sorry, like
the straight space.
We like gay men and middle America women, like are the ones that are fully supporting the Bravo paycheck. So like I almost feel like it's too close to home. And then they try to do what they think would be like best for the show and stuff. And exactly. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Like we just need to like sit there, watch, eat our tea. drink our tea. I'm tired, Maddie. Leave me alone. Okay. We just need to sit on the sidelines and, you know, the gays are the best when they are catty in the corner and they come up with like rumors about like, you know, a certain like, or they say something about a housewife, like, but they're like the housewife's friends, like, mm-hmm. like a Cedric.
That's what I'm saying.
Lawrence. Yeah. They're literally the best when they're in the corner.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
I literally said we were relegated. Oh my God. We're going to play this.
What do you mean? You said we're not supposed to be in straight spaces, like you're a homophobe.
No,
like
because, you like no, it's not what I said at all. You clearly were not listening.
I was listening. I'm saying
these are mostly straight women married to men with families and heteronormative lives, and they have a gay friend or two that appear on these episodes when they go out, or they like help style them, or like Sutton's gay assistant. They're sort of like we're relegated to the sidelines, even on like Southern Hospitality. He clearly has a crush on Joe Bradley, by the way. And he is just like and it's like it's very much like we're on the outskirts. And to your point, yes, like a lot of times we act out on for camera. And I think it's like a different level of energy than what they're expecting. You know,
I'm glad we got.
I don't think it's
twice,
but it's not authentic.
Zach didn't listen.
And I did listen. And that's not I didn't say what Reed said.
I know.
I didn't say what Reed
the
said.
Girls are fighting.
I was saying that like we try to be housewives. Like we try, like I remember like I mean when I was younger, it was like super homophobic era of my like parents and my mom being like, I would like gay men if they didn't try to act like girls. Like we try to act like the wives when we go into those reality TV spaces, I feel like. And so I feel like speaking as a gay man, we're better on the sidelines. You were saying like a whole like thesis that belonged in like a Harvard essay. I'm talking about just like something else. You're like talking about straight spaces and shit like that.
It sounds like Maddie agrees with me, but yeah, sure.
Well, this was entertaining for me, honestly. I feel like this should be a TV show, honestly. But I have a hot take. I think that sometimes, honestly, if you talk about gay men together, like you guys get over things actually a lot quicker than straight people do. And I think that that's almost like less entertaining, you know, like we've talked about this with Love is Blind before. We've talked about this before, like where like someone was like, oh my God, you dated my ex. like, and it's like a big deal for straight women and men. And it's like for, I think for gay men, like not as big of a deal. And I think that you guys can kind of move past things like quicker than we can.
Like Roni.
And it's like, honestly, like maybe not as like volatile, like, you know, and I'm saying like that as a compliment to you guys.
I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying?
I think like, if anything, gays are a little bit like passive aggressive to each other. They pretend that they're over it to their face and then are passive aggressive behind their back. And that doesn't always read well. So maybe
it's not dramatic. It's like you guys are like kind of like able to move past things like quicker. I think that you don't really care if you fucked my ex, big deal, you know, like,
but like for, where does Drag Race fit into this conversation? Cause that's so much drama.
And it's because
so
Drag Race is a competition. I literally said it's different in the competition show settings.
I'm saying like, if it's like dating things or like, someone has brought up the idea of having like a bachelor with gay people or like,
they'd all be fucking. They'd all be fucking.
And they wouldn't even fucking care. They would just get over it real quick. They'd be like, yeah, let's all have a threesome. Like, they wouldn't care. Like, they'd just be like, whatever.
What is it called in the
fantasy suite would have five men.
The
in
fantasy
it
suite would be fucking like steam room.
Orgy.
Like,
let's just go on to porn at that point. Honestly, like no one cares.
And honestly, you know what? Reed kind of ate with the whole straight space thing because the reason why me and Reed's fight just now was so good and we've moved past it is because this is not a straight space. This is
not
a
straight. And it's not a safe space either.
It's not a safe space.
No, I think Zach, you and I were talking about essentially the same thing on and different from different angles. So I hear everything you said too. And I do want to believe that like a housewife show featuring gays would work. Like I think every gay and their friends want to believe they would be the right ones for that. Like me and my friends always joke like, oh, what would your tagline be? And obviously I'm sure every gay friend group thinks that like they're TV worthy, but sometimes things happen that truly make me, and Zach, you and I have even had these moments on vacations together. There are moments that truly feel like they would be TV gold.
Oh,
like
when
the BravoCon of it all, like when we won't.
Oh my gosh! Like yeah, no, like honestly, the Vegas trip. Like if you guys saw the Vegas trip, like to BravoCon, you guys, our ratings would have been through the roof.
It was like an OC.
You guys moved past it so quickly. You didn't hold on.
And the allegations were damaging. And we're off.
It was really like it was like a three. Okay, it was a 3-day like feud though, so it really like over it had like ebbs and flows. It very much was like a cast trip where there would be a fight, there would be like a resolution in the morning, and then there would be like another. You know what I mean? It would just
continue. It was truly unhinged. Like
But if you guys were like straight women, you would have held on to that resentment for like.
Like this podcast probably wouldn't be around anymore if they were straight women.
You guys would fight for weeks about it and try to resolve it. It would be like a whole thing for a whole season.
Annie, I don't know if you heard this, but the other night, last weekend, Mo and I got into a drag out fight in a group chat with like 12 people. Like there was like 12 witnesses, and I read him to filth and back, like really hard, like down.
Recently?
Yes, like a couple days ago. And then he tried to like, well, I'm gonna say try, but he'll think that he dragged me like really bad.
No,
but I was laughing.
He dragged you back. I thought you both did some good licks in. I was
no,
laughing.
I don't think you saw the other lick unless he talked to you about it in a separate group chat, because I don't think he talked about it in the other group chat. And I don't think I don't think I told you guys what I said in the group chat. I think you guys got the cutoff of it. Okay. But like it was, I went low. I went real low down and dirty.
You went Erica Jane to Denise Richards.
Yeah, I like very like. And
who
let's talk about
more?
Your daughter on OnlyFans.
You were saying
like, it was super low. And then he said something about me and tried to go low and stuff. And it was just so, it was bad. Like everyone, I was getting side chats from like everyone in that chat going like, oh my God, I cannot believe. I don't see how you and Mo are going to like bounce back from this. 10 minutes later, we were fine. And we've been kikiing every day ever since. It's just like, that's like our relationship. And that's like, it's very... I mean, the listeners know, they listen to the podcast before. Me and Mo would get into fucking arguments all the time. But like,
which is the magic of it.
The other night, it was so bad. My sister was like, Zach, that was so dirty of you. Like, that was, you torched.
You'll have to send me the screenshots offline.
It was bad. It was a voice memo.
Oh, no.
Can we find a way to incorporate the Erica Jane you think I'm not going to go as low as I possibly fucking can?
You think I'm not going to go as low as I can?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It's like, you don't
that
think like
needs to be answered at some point in this conversation.
But we're good now. We're sisters. I mean, we were going to have to make this work. We're going to Taylor Swift in June. So we're going to have to figure this out.
Well, that's what brings y'all together is your crazy Swiftiness, you know?
Well, he's a little crazier than me, but anyways.
I did want to bring up that I finally got Zach into Summer House. Listeners, you know, last season, I would only recap Summer House when I was a friend of the pod with Mo, because me and Mo were the only ones that watched. And now none of these people watch. So I did a Patreon with my friend Aaron for the first three episodes. Make sure you go subscribe and listen. But now Zach has caught up on the first three episodes and he actually likes it.
I'm shocked myself. Like, I truly am shocked. It was one of those things where I'm like, all right, let me just give it one more try. Because there's such a lack of shit on Bravo. And I sent this to Maddie. And this is my theory as to why I believe I wasn't able to get into Summer House before. And then this time I was one. What's going on in Summer House is very interesting right now. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. Two, there's not a lot of Bravo content and there's not a lot of homework that I have to do for this said podcast. Where before, when Maddie would try to get me to watch, I was taking notes on four different Housewives franchises. I was watching other things. I had no room in my brain to like get attached to like a new Bravo show that I wasn't super like obsessed with. And to one of the listeners' points, he dragged me, was like, there's no old ladies in it, that's why you don't like it. And I'm like, shut up. But, which is true. Literally yesterday, I watched all three episodes. I mean, I think you were shocked. I thought I was only going to watch like one episode and then like a couple days later watch another episode. And I like, by the end of the day, I texted Maddie and I was like, I'm all caught up and I'm like very into it. And fuck Lindsay and all these things. I listed all these things off and it's like, yeah, I know the players and everything like that, but I think, I don't know, the season's a little bit more interesting because I feel like it has a little bit more meat. I love also watching Southern Charm and falling in love with Paige and Craig has really helped. And then
that literally warms my heart. Like, this is the best news I've ever heard. You love Paige and Craig.
I love Paige and Craig. Every time she says Jesse Solomon, I like cackle. She's like, Jesse Solomon. Westie. Like, I'm a Westie.
We're Westies now.
Like,
hashtag Westie.
What's that little Northwest clip where it's like, it's your bestie, Miss Westie. Like, I'm here. And, I'm happy to be here, guys. I'm happy to join the club finally.
I'm happy you're here too.
I'm not
anything
there,
else,
but I might be there eventually. Where I am at, where I don't think anybody else is caught up on Real Housewives of Potomac. I enjoy like putting myself through pain, I guess, because I have watched every week along with the Married to Medicine reunion, which I've really enjoyed. Yeah. And that's been like a nice, the Married to Medicine season kind of started off hot and then kind of dropped off for me and I kind of stopped paying attention. I'd be on my phone. So the reunion's been nice because it's been helping me kind of know all the big things that went down, even if I sort of wasn't fully paying attention. But then over in Potomac land, really y'all haven't missed too long. Don't read of it all. Y'all really haven't missed a whole lot. I think they're still in Austin. Just kidding. They have introduced a new friend, Kiarna, and she and NECA kind of went at it, and I really like her. And then in the latest episode, they brought Jacqueline back, and Mia walks in, and they had like a talk, and it ultimately ended sort of resolved. Like, Jacqueline didn't want to give her a hug, but they like got closer to resolving the beef from last season. And if you'll recall, it got pretty ugly last season with everything. And so anyways, it's still kind of a shitty show and season right now, but those little elements in the last few episodes have been probably my favorite thing all season. And Charisse gets hammered. She has them over for crabs and apparently the crabs taste like shit. Like, they're like not good. It's like not quality crab. And she's hammered and she like slams the table. She's like, enough. And Giselle's like, when is she going to stop doing it? And they cut to last season when she did it to Karen, if you remember. So, yeah.
I have to ask, are they going to show that fight?
I think it's coming. I think it's coming.
It has been in no trailer, though.
I was going to say, I thought the fight happened after filming Wrapped.
No, the cameras were fully in, like, well, I think it happened after they wrapped filming for the day, but they're not after they wrapped filming for the season. So
I thought it was wrapped for the season.
Me too.
Happened. But either way, they've got that cell phone video. They're going to play it in the finale, obviously. Like, they're going to do the Kyle Mauricio thing after the little credit cards. I think that they'll do it.
I hope so, because they haven't.
It was Jacqueline versus Kiana, apparently. And then they stopped Candace when she grabbed the bottle. If you see it in the video, Candace's little
lean
ass body carrying this big ass bottle like a club.
I thought it was the Muppet.
The Muppet. Deborah? You're right. It wasn't Muppet.
I don't think it was Jacqueline.
But I think it's Kiana. She's like this. She's a short queen. I love her.
Yeah, I'm all caught up, except I haven't watched it this past Sunday because it was on during the Oscars. So I'll have to catch up with that and Married to Med. But Married to Med has been very much delivering. The reunions I always love because they do a weird section with the husbands. And I just feel like that's always funny because I actually enjoy the Married to Med husbands. So I'll have to catch up on both of those. But Married to Med is hitting. So
I was watching it today. I was catching up because I'm so behind on Married to Med. But I was watching it today and I enjoy those women. Like, I mean, Heavenly saying anything is hilarious. Like, no matter what comes out of her mouth, it cracks me up.
Phaedra allegedly, I think she said, like, all of them got contracts. So I don't know if, like, Phaedra's going to be on Traitors or Atlanta, not Traitors, obviously, Atlanta. She might stay over on Married to Med.
I'm wondering, I know there's a rule with certain, like, NBC, CBS's, all of those, you can't be on, like, two shows at once. Like, you can't be on, like, a Big Brother and, like, a Real House of Atlanta at the exact same time. I'm wondering if they have rules like that for just NBC, or if Phaedra could do both, if they're not premiering.
I feel like if you've signed a talent contract with NBC Universal, I think that they can use you anywhere they want. I used to work in broadcast, and I had to sign a contract.
Did you used to work in broadcasting?
Wait, you
were a journalist?
Wait, that's so
I'm
weird.
Wait, Reed,
right now,
when did you do that?
Were you a news reporter?
Brand new breaking news.
There was our head anchor. She was amazing. Apparently, she was at the competitor news station. Her contract ran out. She wanted to come to this station and they were offering her more money. But there's a non-compete clause of, like, mm-hmm. going to a competitor in the same market. And so she was a producer for like a year, just behind the scenes until her non-compete ran out. And then she became like the face of the station. So I feel like that kind of stuff. That's why Traitors blows my mind. How are they getting people from all the networks? Because NBC Universal owns Peacock. So they're sort of like the main player in Traitors. So I just don't get how CBS and all those other companies are like, okay, giving their, like, you know, their talent away like that,
because their talent isn't on, like, shows right now. Like, all the people that are from The Challenge, Big Brother, Survivor, they're all like stars of those shows, but they're not playing anymore. So that's why it makes it a little bit easier.
That's a good point. So yeah, moral of the story: Potomac, Married to Med, they're there. Well, Married to Med's good. Potomac is just there.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Anything else in the Bravo world, guys?
I think that's it. So why don't we get into our recap of part 3 of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion.
The music video was done actually right, like, about, I want to say, a month before that story broke about Momi. But
so the point of
obviously
doing
once that story came out about Momi, well, we're not even making the video after that. But, you know, we made
it. You had
it
already
before.
Done it.
We'd already done it.
So the purpose of that music video was what?
You know, she was on tour at the time, and then she was going to be playing at Stagecoach. And she said, I want to come do this for you, to support you for, you know, the event for Laureen. But then you have to be in one of my videos. I didn't really know the creative behind it until I got there.
If you get on the internet, you see people were obsessed with, you know, us being friends and why we're friends. But we thought it would be, you know, kind of a good idea and kind of poke fun at that. And
well, if they're going to talk, you might as well give them something to talk about. So,
and I said to the director, I've never actually like kissed anybody on camera, let alone a woman or off camera.
Right.
So I was very nervous and, you know, anxious. But I mean, if I'm being honest with myself, I was obviously curious in order to say yes.
All right, guys, let's talk about The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. It closed out tonight and I have thoughts. I have lots of notes. I think it was a very good reunion overall. I mean, I wouldn't say it was like the jaw-dropping, like amazing, but I'd say it was like entertaining. I was like fully entertained, like parts 1, 2, and 3. So what did you guys think about part 3?
I thought we actually got some of the most real, raw, like just truth from Kyle. I was watching it live tonight. We're recording this on a Wednesday night, just I guess a little behind the scenes magic. So we just all watched it. I started off the episode really frustrated with Kyle because she kind of shut Kathy down when Kathy was spilling the beans about Mauricio's falling out and like the agency. And it's crazy timing because at the same time this week, Netflix released a teaser from Buying Beverly Hills where Mauricio talked about that. Let's play a little clip of that.
I got kind of fucked by Hilton and Highland. And when I say fucked, you know, like today I'm happy, but there was 100 agents at Hilton and Highland. They did $1 billion for the first time a year. I was 19.6% of their production. And I went to Rick and I said, I really liked equity, right? And to be a partner, he went back, he talked to Jeff, he got back to me. And basically I was told no. Then I went home, I talked to Kyle. I go, this is really going to cause a lot of stress between you and your sister and your family. And I don't want to do this move of leaving and starting a company if you're not comfortable. She was 100% supportive. And then I remember they said to me, how did you not give us any warning or any issue? And I was like, warning? I think Hilton Highland is an amazing company and I would never be caught dead speaking poorly about them because I don't think poorly about them. And I am Rick's brother-in-law. But unfortunately, it got sour because it really affected the family, Kyle more than anybody. You know, her family stopped speaking to her. But she understood that what was done to me was wrong, and she stood by me. And at the end of the day, I needed that.
That was the most information we've ever gotten from Kyle's family about what went down between the Hiltons and the Umanskis. And we got it from Mauricio on Netflix, not from Kyle in Beverly Hills. And then Paris Hilton commented and was like, my father is a consummate gentleman, would never speak on ill on his family. No matter what, like we're frankly really sick of Mauricio using the Hilton name to plug his lame Netflix show. Paris fucking ate him up a little bit. She barely eats, but she ate.
She barely eats.
So anyways,
she's skinny.
So anyways, to sum up like my overall thoughts, I started off the episode really frustrated, but then when we got into the meat of like their breakup or whatever, I felt like she actually was very transparent and forthcoming, and I did feel kind of satisfied at the end. So yeah, that's my take.
Also, I think that we would be remiss because we all did watch this live because it is Wednesday night, right? So we all saw the Paris Hilton commercial for Hilton Rewards.
Oh,
I did not. I was fast forwarding through. I have YouTube TV, love.
I started a little late, so I was fast forwarding. Yeah.
Well, damn.
A peek behind the curtain in advertising. Sometimes people pay for that, like, first pod advertising to relate to. It's like scene level targeting because the Hilton was mentioned and the next pod for the advertising, a Hilton commercial will air. It's like,
ooh.
Very in the weeds of advertising as an advertising specialist. I know all of that.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was all pink, everything. And people were like, slipping, like, Hilton Reward.
Oh, yeah, that's like, funny.
That's like those Olay commercials in Drag Race that feature drag queens. And people are like, how is Malaysia Baby Doll Fox on an Olay commercial? And I'm like, y'all, it's just for this channel at this time. This is not playing on like the Bachelor's commercial break.
No,
like, no one is seeing Malaysia Baby Doll Fox. Put Olay on her skin. Okay, sorry.
No. So far for the reunion, I did think part three is obviously the most interesting. I feel like that always happens with reunions. Part three is where you'll get most of the meat of what we're looking for. I also think Kathy being there makes Kyle more honest, if that makes sense. Like, she kind of holds her foot to the fire. If Kyle's saying something, like, Kathy will, like, basically interrupt to settle her down. I also thought it was kind of crazy that Sutton and Garcelle just left and we did not have them basically the entire reunion other than the first 5 minutes.
So I have some thoughts about the Kathy of it all and the Kyle of it all. I know that there's some people that are sick of Kyle and that they think that Kyle hides things or doesn't like actually present her life in the way that like they would want. But I'm sorry, you're never going to get me to hate Kyle Richards. Like I don't, you're never going to get me to hate her. I will never hate her. I think that she is one of the most honest and forthright housewives that has been. Like, sure, does she not like, but she doesn't mask like things. She'll like, she'll still give us like information. Like tonight, for example, when she was like, he did something that broke my trust. If you're not reading context clues, like look at her eyes. She's telling us without saying it, but she's giving us a message. Like, she's sending a little bat signal. She's like, she's saying, yeah, he did something that broke my trust. AKA, she's like, he cheated. I don't know if anyone noticed when she was like, he did something to break my trust and it was just like hard to come back from. And he was like, was it something like with another party or something? And like, no one said anything, but Dorit, I don't even know if she realized it, but was nodding her head. Did anyone like
yeah,
notice that?
I saw she was that. Like, she was just
like, she's like in the corner nodding her head.
A big mouth, even when her mouth is closed.
I know. So like, it's just, I don't know. If you think that Kyle isn't being honest, then you're not like looking at all the little signs that she's giving. The other thing that I thought was very interesting about the Kathy of it all is, have we ever seen something on Housewives where like a person who was not featured in the season, like did not film, did not like participate in anything, like, yes, were they talked about? Sure. But like, come out, sit on the couch, have a full segment. Like, when I saw that we were getting Kathy, like, I thought she was going to bring out like the champagne at the end for a second. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought that she was going to be like, hey girls, like,
she was there almost the entire time.
She was there almost the entire part three and had a package and everything and had questions. And like, I was like, this is so crazy. Like, this bitch was not on the season. Like, it's just like, I thought that was like very wild to watch. And it was a Housewives first.
Yeah, so a couple of things. I agree with you. It made Kyle more honest, because I think that Kathy being there made Kyle address certain things that she would not have addressed beforehand. I also, you know, I think that I said this on my episode with Maddie before, where I was like, Kyle will never say the exact thing that Maurizio did because of her daughters.
Remember your girls. Exactly.
Yeah, she's never going to say the exact thing. Like,
Portia, like, and Alexia.
Remember your girls.
I'm good, Chef. Remember your girls.
I'm good, Chef.
You don't care about the girls.
I'm good,
Chef. You don't care about
the girls.
You don't care about the girls.
And Alexia.
Remember your girls. Sophia. Sorry, I had to.
She's never going to say the exact thing, but she gave enough away. Like, and she was crying the entire time. I cried watching it. Kathy was emotional during it. I will say,
I'm sorry, I'm still laughing.
Annie's moved on, and we have not. We are still.
I'm trying to hold it together.
That video like haunts me. It's so funny.
It truly is. Gosh. I think about it twice a day. I'm not kidding.
Okay. Wow, I really ate with that one, didn't I?
Also, like, I don't think you guys can't see it, but like, Maddie has her hair like slicked back with like a headband, and it's like, you know, it's her nighttime routine. She's got no makeup on. She's like, you literally like this. I mean this in the least offensive way possible. It's her just funny. Blowing. It's like, it was kind of like Joe Dirt going, like, remember your girls.
Oh my god.
No, I mean, this is the least offensive way possible. You look like Kevin Spade.
I can't David breathe. Spade. My face hurts.
David Spade.
Okay,
hold on. This Wendy Williams
pivot. Okay, so I have to say something. I think that what I was wondering was, why, when Sutton passed out, did they need to call somebody? Because Anne-Marie Wiley was there.
No, I thought the same thing, Annie. I'm like,
you know, but she can help her out. She's shaken.
Sutton had a medical bracelet, and it said, in case of medical emergency, do not let this woman touch me. Like, she gave a court-mandated order that Anne-Marie could not touch her.
I mean, I really think that they probably just forgot that she was there, because I think we all did, because that bitch said two things.
The camera would cut to her, and I was like,
but as soon as it happened, she popped right up. She goes, we should call 911. And the paramedic was like, we don't need to call 911, bitch. Shut the fuck up.
And the one opportunity that Anne-Marie had to do something iconic, to do something legendary, when Andy asked her to expand on what she meant in the after show, when she said, Kyle has found someone who loves her and accepts her. This was Anne-Marie's opportunity to be like, yeah, Kyle's a fucking lesbian. Kyle, just tell everybody. And instead, she's very PC about it. Well, I think that all I meant was that she's found a good friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Erica rolled her eyes at that, because it's like, you knew exactly.
You spilled the beans. Just in the words of the late great Lisa Rinna, own it.
Own it, baby.
I just think I understand that, you know, most housewives should get a second season, and we shouldn't just judge them off of one season. And then there's a lot of discourse on if Anne-Marie is going to come back or not, because it seems like Andy likes her for some reason. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see them editing her down that much and bringing her back for a second season. It would make no sense. She had no personal scenes. She had no home scenes. She said a total of 10 words in part 2 and 3 of the reunion. Like, I just don't see it in the cards.
She literally was less present than Garcelle and Sutton, who
when they were gone,
left the building. They weren't even in the building, and she was less.
She was less present. She was less present than someone on the couch who wasn't even in the goddamn season. Like, Kathy had more. Like,
okay, I wanted to say about the Kathy thing they did. I was like, they are sucking her dick from the back on this show right now. Like, they literally went around in a circle and were like, Kathy is so powerful. Kathy is the definition of better. I was like, who did she pay to make them all go around and just like jack her off like this?
No, I mean, it's just kind of funny where like Kathy's like, I found it ironic that Kathy was questioning why people would think she has the power that she has, when literally they brought her on to the reunion of a season that she had no part of.
Yeah.
It gave her a full segment. She's sitting like second chair. Like, yeah, babes, like you have a lot of power. And then it was just so funny when she was like, Kyle, I think you're like a little sensitive, and you. Or not, I'm more sensitive than you, and you come off so strong. And Kyle's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, but like, you're the scary one, bitch. Like, you're the scary one.
Well, yeah, because they all had to go around and be like, no, Kathy, we're not scared of you. You just have such a presence. Like, I'm like, okay, you all are scared of her. I also thought it was really funny as she was walking out, Andy was like, the grand dame of Beverly Hills, and it's not LVP. It's like, really? Andy had to get that whack in?
The grand dame.
I also think that there is one person who is not afraid of Kathy, and she said that tonight, and that's Erica. And I just love whenever they play that clip. It's one of my favorite clips. And she's like, and then Kathy walked in, and she said, we got to go, the old faggot.
The DJ's an old fucking faggot.
I'm wondering if we watch tomorrow on Peacock with like the uncensored extended version, if we'll get Erica saying the F word.
If we do, that will be everything.
They will not let that. They will not air that. No,
I need that uncensored now. Because if anyone, it's not like we're hearing Kathy literally say it. We're hearing Erica say it.
I also found it, and I think that the one reason that they had Kathy back for so long was the way that last season ended. It was sort of like Kathy and Kyle are on the outs. It was super dramatic. And even like for a lot of this season that we saw, I think, weren't they still kind of on the outs? Like,
yes.
Like, it wasn't really, I think it recently got better. So I feel like Andy was like, well, we need to have her on because like we need to get resolution. And I did feel like I got some resolution. It seems like they're back in each other's good graces for the most part, which I liked too.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest, like when I first saw that she was coming on, I was like, not this, why, you know? But actually when she came on, I was like, it did resolve a lot of things. It kind of, honestly, I cried. I got a little emotional at times.
Oh.
It was like nice to see them like kind of like make up and like address what happened last season. They did a whole flashback of everything that Kyle said this season about her. Mm-hmm. And then Kathy saying, oh, she warned me. Like that was huge, you know, like, and it was just like, okay, they're good now. And it was like so nice to have them holding hands the whole time. And they were both crying. And it was just like, I don't know. I didn't think I needed it, but I did need it. I needed that. Like I needed that.
I did think we missed out on Kathy versus Sutton. Because as soon as Sutton walked away, Kathy goes, I was going to go after her next.
We missed out on the entire time. Like everyone got up to go check on Sutton and Kathy and Erica just sat there and Kathy was just saying the shadiest shit. Like the shadiest shit. She was like, you're 49.
It's
like,
bound to happen. You're having a hot flash.
She's like, you're 49, Sutton. It's like bound to happen. Like she and she was just like, what does she have? Like, remember when she like leaned over to Erica? Yeah. She's like, what does she have? And the Erica, what is it that she has? What is the thing called?
Esophagitis.
No, not that one. The other one where she's like, oh, it's neurology. She's like, oh, it's a neurological thing. Neuropathy. And then she's like, oh. Like she was like disgusted by it. I was like, whacker. Oh my God.
Okay. Side note, I'm a little bit sick of Garcelle just using her. Oh. Garcelle always goes, oh. Like Kathy's coming out. Oh.
Yeah, that is kind of her like shady little thing.
I love it. There's like, I have all these memes on my phone from different housewives. Like I've been following Zach's footsteps with like creating my own library of Alexandria. It'll never rival yours, of course, but I'm like putting things where I can when I remember. And there, I have multiple Beverly Hills clips where like someone will say something and then like the meme ends with Garcelle. Oh.
No, my it's favorite. Like my favorite. One. My favorite.
Can you make
one.
A montage with that? Just yeah. Garcelle always being like, "Oh,
it's a great reaction."
My yes. favorite one read, and I think I was talking to you about it in Mexico with like Elvis, is when Dorit goes, "It's actually the diametrical opposite," and then you hear Garcelle go, "Oh my god!"
It's actually the diametrical opposite.
Oh my god!
Oh my god! Yeah. It's like oh that, god. It's like one of my favorite. Oh my it's god. One of my favorite things. Oh my god.
She does the same thing with the flashback of when Dorit was talking about her robbery and said he left my phone at the gate and Garcelle goes, oh my god.
I think because I didn't get to talk about parts one and part two. And I do think like with Garcelle being like, I don't understand why would he leave the phone? I'm like, it's actually like they came up with the answer like pretty quick, and I was like, the phone is a tracker.
It's
like,
actually the diametrical
it's
opposite.
It's actually a tracker. Like, I don't think I would have the phone either. I'd put it by the gate too.
And the video literally showed him put it down. Like, it's not like she's making it up. Like, he right. did, unless you believe that he's a paid actor, which is a different story. But
I actually am suspicious more than usual that with this season of PK being like, I don't get the PTSD. I think it's obnoxious, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, because you arranged the robbery?
Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
One day there's going to be the housewife and the husband.
Oh,
hustlers.
My God. Oh.
Oh, my God. I wanted to say that with regard to Sutton, I think the thing that we were robbed of the most, if she hadn't fainted, was the Kathy Sutton showdown. I was waiting on the clip after the Aspen trip, when it's like them, when there was no footage. So they were just, it was all the housewives recounting what happened and it was very dramatic. And Sutton's like, and Kathy wanted to do the conga line. She goes, nobody wanted to do the conga.
She kept asking everybody to do the conga line. And I don't think anybody wanted to do it.
That lives in such infamy. Oh my gosh.
It was so dramatic. And I wanted Andy to be like, so will you ladies do the conga tonight?
So, yeah, we missed out on a lot because of
that. One thing I do want to bring up about, I feel like we can actually, surprisingly, we can talk about this reunion forever. I do want to bring up how sick, twisted, fucked up Bravo is for playing that Mauricio Kyle package. Like, that was so sick and twisted. Like, the Paris, that watching all their memories, like, I'm like, you are gonna kill me.
I thought it was amazing. Kill me.
You're gonna
kill me. So smart. And how did Andy even like intro the clip package? He was kind of shady with it.
He was super shady, and then Kyle was like, thanks, Andy.
He said,
"Well, he was just doing. He was just saying what he would have said for any other
housewife. It was TV writing. It was TV writing. He was saying that like their relationship hangs in the balance. It was very like, you know, sensationalist, like meant to be like catchy. And she was like, thanks, Andy. But I don't think she was actually mad. I think she knows like this is TV. But it's just kind of like she. The thing about Kyle, she's been so transparent with us for so many years. And I know it. I do feel like a spoiled brat being like, she's not sharing enough, because I have been kind of feeling that way. Because she has shared so much of her life, more than anybody else. But I think, like, even in this episode with regard to Morgan, she's so... I love that viewer question. You're dancing around it. Why can't you just spit it out? When, like, Andy read that, I'm like, that's literally what it is. Spit it out. Say what we all know.
And I know when she was going, like... Yeah, when she was going, like, I don't know, maybe.
I
don't know. We'll see.
She was so flustered. I think she wants to, what her heart wants to say, and her mind is not letting her, is that like she's open to dating a woman and she's not quite there yet. And I feel like Andy was right. Maybe a year from now, Morgan will be here on the couch with you, because maybe a year from now, Kyle will have come to that place. And I hope she does.
Okay. I have a couple thoughts. I think that like on one hand, at the beginning of the combo, I was like, oh my gosh, she's kind of admitting it. She's like getting into, oh, I was curious. That's why I did the video. That's why I did the kiss. I was curious. And then she's like, no, I like her as a friend. In the future, maybe. Listen, bitch, if you're going to be a lesbian, you would have by now, because you've been like with this woman for this long, like hanging out 24/7. It feels like queer baiting a little bit. No.
I kind of get what you're saying with that, like, because there are in the music video, it's very queer baity. But I think in like three years when Portia's 18 or however old, she's like 15, 16 now, once she gets 18 and moves out of the house, it's going to be like, hello, I'm a lesbian. I think she's literally waiting until
she's a mom. She's a mom first before she's
also
like...
Two things. The one is that, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, Kyle keeps talking about like, oh, and that video was done before it all came out, before the press was talking about me and Morgan and stuff like that. And I'm like, that makes me more suspicious, actually, because you weren't doing it for a sensational thing that was like a joke and a play on a story that was hot. And then the story came out later. So to me, I think that's weird. My second thing that I want to say is I'm so happy that we got one more. She stalked me.
I have to do it. Three, two. She stalked me.
How did you guys met?
She stalked me.
I just want to say, does anyone here listen to Morgan Wade's music?
No.
She's actually a beautiful country
artist.
People
love her music.
She had her debut album come out last summer. I played it like all 4th of July when I was visiting my parents, because my parents like, I have to play music that I know they'll like, and I was like, they'll like this country shit. But there's a song called Psychopath.
You say I'm a psychopath, sitting at the bar drinking my coffee black. Look at me and you start to laugh. You say I am a psychopath.
And then there's this song, a song called Fall in Love with Me.
Wait until you see me.
And I swear to fuck, and I think that's the video is false. I think that's what it is. But I swear to fucking God, guys, if you listen to those songs and read the lyrics, she wrote those about Kyle.
Right. So, I mean, what Andy brought up though was like, I'm sure she was a famous artist before this, but like Andy was like, but you made her a household name. Totally. I would have never heard of this bitch ever if it wasn't for Kyle.
No, she should be happy with the exposure.
honestly, like the video itself is not what made the questions arise in my mind. It's the countless paparazzi photos, the countless like photos of you guys wearing each other's clothing. It's like, oh, this day you were wearing this clothing, the next day you were wearing each other's clothing, you guys switched outfits, so you slept together. Like, it's like honestly, there's so much more than just like that music video to like say. It's for her to call out Dorit and say, you bringing that up on the show would make people wonder about our relationship more. It's like, how dare you, Kyle? You have been fucking baiting this shit left and right every fucking day of your life. Like, really? It's honestly like, how dare you accuse anyone else of making you guys seem like a fucking couple? You've been doing this. You did this.
I will never forget the day. I will never forget the day that Maddie went, and this was before like the news was like really breaking and before it was like catching like tons of steam. But I'll never forget when Maddie was like, look at Kyle's nails. she's like look at Kyle's nails, and she's like, and then Maddie goes, I always knew like, that was the moment.
I have lived with enough lesbians in my lifetime. I can spot one a mile away, especially like the crunchy granola kind, like that wear
the crunchy granola,
the ones that wear the flat brim hats and listen to fucking Morgan Wade. Kyle Richards is lesbian.
Wasn't anyway. There also a rumor that Kyle was like managing Morgan, and that's why she was in Morgan's music videos and hanging out with Morgan a lot because she was her new manager or something along those lines. Wasn't mm-hmm. Was that not a rumor?
I didn't hear that.
I don't know if I heard that one.
I thought it could have been totally just a rumor, just because they're like, yeah, Kyle's hanging out with her a lot to get her publicity because that's how she makes money off her.
That makes a lot of sense, honestly. But I think that also what's weird was that she was like, I didn't know the creative direction of the music video. People pointed out that like Kyle is a director, a actor, a TV producer beforehand. She would have asked about the creative directive of the video before she agreed to do it. That's a fucking lie. So no.
Yeah, I don't know. It's what, but I support her. I support her. I think that they're really cute. I think another good point that was brought up during, I think the other point that was brought up during it was that doctor's appointment. Like, I'm not taking like my friend to the doctor with me. Like, I'm sorry. I'm taking my partner.
I'm taking my lesbian lover.
If that.
I did take a friend to a doctor before. When I was in college, my first OBGYN visit, I was nervous. So
I feel like that's a thing that a girlfriend could go to you. Yeah, that seems applicable.
Okay, but Maddie was younger. It's not a 40-year-old or whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
that's
so
true.
I think it's different. Honestly, the thing that bothered me was her being like, I don't know, like, we'll see, maybe. Like, I don't know.
I didn't interpret it that way. It felt to me like, I hear you, Annie, but like what I saw was like someone who was not ready to say it out loud, especially on TV. And she was kind of caught off guard. Even like Kathy sitting there next to her made her feel uncomfortable talking about it. And Kathy almost had to like reassure her, like, it's okay. Like, you can be whatever. Like, I'm not going to. I think when she admitted to Andy, like, well, obviously I was curious a little bit. I must, because she was, the way she said it, she was like, if I'm being honest with myself, like, I must have been curious. I think she was actually thinking through it maybe for the first time. Like, she's literally realizing things.
Well, I thought it was a very good reunion overall. I will say my last point that I'm just kind of getting tired of is Andy yawning when Dorit is talking. I think it's rude and I think it's overplayed, and I think the bit is tired. I'm yawning at the bit. Like,
yes.
Enough. Like, that's like, Dorit doesn't even say it would be one thing if she had been talking for like ever. It's like he will ask her a question and she'll be like, and he'll yawn, and then I'm like, dude, like, girl, please.
He thinks he's like eating it up on.
I think he thinks so. And I'm like, girl, that's not. It's not it. It's not.
Apparently, there is a thing where I found out recently, if you're anxious, you'll yawn if someone's talking to you and it's like creating anxiety. And I've like done that in situations before where I'm feeling really like overwhelmed. I start yawning.
Maddie just did it.
I just yawned.
I start yawning.
It's because I took
so
took
I give
melatonin.
You anxiety, Maddie.
The yawn is contagious too. I'm like trying not
yeah,
to.
Yeah, exactly. And I honestly, yeah, I don't know. Maybe every time she talks, she throws Andy into an anxiety spiral and he starts yawning.
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? Well, that is our Real Housewives of Beverly Hills segment. We're going to get into a very, very quick Vanderpump Rules segment.
No one's gonna like what I have to say.
Ooh.
Don't f-ing do that.
What the f- kind of threat is that? You're not gonna like what I have to say? The f-ing say it. Say it with your whole chest, bitch. Let it go.
Excuse me. Do not f-ing talk to me like that.
Don't
bitch.
Talk to me
I'm
like
telling
this.
You something.
Don't
you
put your
don't
f-ing talk to me like
me.
That, bitch.
You do not want it with me. Disengage. Disengage. What I feel like is what Katie is basically saying is like when you're like, well, this was it was worse for me. It is way worse. I live it every day.
Nobody knows what it's like to deal with a shitty ex more than I do. I'm never rid of this person that I had a child with. And this is why I know that harboring resentment towards your ex, like Ariana is doing with Sandoval, it will eat you alive. It's like drinking the poison and expecting it to kill the other person. It doesn't. It kills you. I don't want that for my friend.
Yours always has to be bigger. Better,
no, it doesn't.
More That's what you're
Are
saying.
Are you kidding?
That's
I rode so hard for her. Are you crazy? And you're making me have to go on defense mode.
All right, then defend yourself.
And I don't want to do that with you.
With
so why are you
my
it out? Why are you bringing it out of me?
You brought it out
I haven't
of
done
me.
A damn thing to you, and you know it. And then you look at her, and you're like,
it was a little much. It was a bit much. So
you're
yeah,
a
that's
bit
what...
much all the time.
All right, guys, let's talk about Vanderpump Rules. There's not like much to talk about, but I feel like we owe it to you guys as listeners to have a little bit of a segment because I know that you guys are still watching. I mean, obviously, we're still watching. It's just like almost like a hate watch at this point. But I feel like the past couple episodes, there has been stuff to talk about. So why don't we get straight to it? I think one of my favorite parts of the season is just watching how skillful, how amazing Sheena is at the craft of making it about her. I think it is like a talent. I think it's beautiful. Mm. I think it's amazing to watch. It's like watching like Simone Biles in gymnastics. Like it's just watching someone who is fantastic at their craft and she's doing it flawlessly. I think it's like perfect.
Okay. I have a hot take. I will say that Sheena is a very rare breed, okay? Because she does make everything about herself, yes. But also, she is kind of like a weirdly large empath at times. And so a way that she makes things about herself is that she feels people's feelings so deeply. Like she, when this happened to Ariana, was like so angry at Tom. So angry at Raquel that she was able to be brought to like physical, you know, assault towards Raquel, Rachel, you know, whatever, because she was so angry for her friend. She takes on the feelings of people around her and makes it feel like it's her own feelings. Like, so for mm-hmm. her, it's like the same thing with Sandoval now, where she's like, oh my gosh, like I'm so angry at him. I'm so angry for my friend Ariana, but I'm also like, feeling his pain of being ousted from the group and being like, I don't know, like I'm losing my friend. And like, he did these things for me and gave me this money. And I'm feeling guilty for, it's like, I feel like she feels a lot of things that are sometimes actually very selfless and very empath vibes. Like, but it just comes off as like selfish, but I don't know. I get where she's coming from. It's a weird vibe.
I think it's a very noble way to look at her, Annie. Because I was watching this episode and I was cracking up because the part where she's like, I'm just really, you know, I don't feel like Ariana finds my feelings valid. And when she got Dancing with the Stars, I was so happy for her, even though like she knew I wanted that. I took classes. Like she
Yeah, but that sounds bad.
And but the thing is, like, as she was saying all these things, I was like, you, the reason you're so taken aback that Ariana doesn't want you to be friends with Sandoval is because you're not capable of seeing anything from anyone else's perspective. Everything is related to how it affects Sheena. And Sandoval is actually not about Sheena. It's about Ariana. And Sheena, from day one of Sandoval, has acted like she was the one that was cheated on. It is so funny to me. Because she wants, everything is about Sheena and Sheena's world.
Okay, but my thing is, like, she took that on because she felt cheated on because she loved her friend Ariana so much that she was, like, so angry at what he did to her and so angry at what Ariana...
If she was so angry, though, then why does she want to take him back so quickly?
No, because yeah, I think she just...
But she didn't want to. Hello, please, let's rewind. The scene where she looks at him and is like, I can't be friends with you anymore because I can't agree with anything that you've done. Like, I'm so sickening. Like, I'm so sickened by you. Like, that's how she felt. She was sickened by him because of what he did to her fucking friend.
I love that you're a Sheena apologist. I love Sheena, but for the opposite reasons.
I'm a Sheena apologist, but in, like, yeah, like, I don't think she's right. I just think what she's doing is camp.
It's so good TV. And I don't know, she might be an empath. She probably is,
honestly.
She's always been getting shit for forgiving people too soon. Always. That's been the vibe the entire fucking, you know, series. Like, she's always been, all the girls have been mad at her. Why are you talking to this bitch even though she screwed us over? Like, Katie and Stassi were always like, you're being friends with Ariana or so-and-so for whatever. And she was like, because I feel for them and I feel like I don't want to be mean to them. Like, she's always been forgiving people too soon. That's her thing, because she sees where people are coming from and she wants to forgive them and she doesn't want them to feel like the outsider. Like, she, and by the way, she's always admitted that she is never the fan favorite. She knows that. Like, she knows that she's not the fan favorite. She knows that she's not getting the most, you know, sympathy. She wants to give everyone else sympathy. Like, that is a thing that she has done. Historically.
Yeah, I did, because you did mention her getting paid by Sandoval. I did want to mention something that recently came out on TikTok. It's just a clip from Kristen's podcast from a while ago. Like, I don't think it's a recent podcast clip, but there was an episode when she was, like, not considered full-time and she was a friend of, and you get paid differently depending on if you're full-time or friend of, and in the episode. And she made the episode, apparently, but Tom Sandoval was in it for like 0.2 seconds. And because of that, he got paid like a full episode rate and she got paid like pennies because she's a friend of. And she woke up like after the episode aired or like after he got paid or something, and he Venmo'd her money to be like, oh, you took over the season, I want to give you money. And as soon as that, I saw that clip of that podcast, I'm like, oh, this is his thing. Like, he manipulates people with money. And I know a lot of people.
I said that last week, kind of. Yeah. I just said, I feel like he's done this for multiple friends, probably, not just Sheena.
I mean, guys, he did it on the show.
With James.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He paid for that, almost that entire engagement.
And there's people like that are very generous with their money, but then they hold it over your head. Like, they're like, well, remember when I paid for your engagement? So why can't you back me up on this? Mm-hmm. Like, they'll use it as a manipulation tool. And as soon as Reed obviously hinted at last episode, but hearing this, it just, like, solidified everything. Because I'm like, okay, we maybe saw it, but I'm like, no, this is a pattern for him. And it makes sense.
But are you talking about what she was talking about when she said that during COVID, when they weren't even filming?
Yeah.
At all?
Yeah. He
gave her $3,500, which for them is probably not a lot. That's why I wasn't saying he does it manipulatively. I do think you're right, Maddie. But my theory last week was just that maybe this isn't actually that big of a deal amongst those friends. But Sheena is of course, in her making everything about her. He gave me money, and she literally says in the confessional, it saved her during COVID. And I'm like, it did not save you. I guarantee you that $3,500 did not save you. You're
$3,500 could save me right now.
But it's Sheena, a lot of money. Sheena is
you're crippling.
It would. No,
Bravo.
It would.
You don't know. It's a lot of money for some Bravo. People like us, Reed.
Sheena is on Bravo. Like, she has ways and means. So
no, this was during COVID when there was no shows going on and there was no filming going on, and her podcast had gotten canceled also, and she had no money.
Yeah,
we also have to understand
she has a lot of credit.
We also have to understand that we're looking at it like, all right, so the way we're looking at it kind of is their paycheck would be immense. The wealth would be overpouring in our lives. But you have to understand that everything in their life has like
I think they all live above paycheck. Their means.
I'm sure yeah, they live above all, their like, means.
They have these houses. They have all these things. They have all these expenses. They have all these businesses. They have people they have to pay for. They have stylists. They have makeup artists. They have all these things. And so that whole big Bravo paycheck is going to a lot of different pots. So when it's depleted, I mean, shit, she might need that $3,500.
Sponsorship, Instagram sponsorships, ads. You are never going to not eat after you've like been on a show this long.
I'm not saying that she's not getting a fat check, but it's going to a lot of different things because
I just all I was saying
like,
was I thought I
like she's not living in like a little it. She's not living in a little apartment in West Hollywood anymore, like with what's his name, Shay, like where they were eating off of tray tables from Big Lots. Like she's living she has a different life. She has a child. She has all the like you're not taking into account of all these factors that money is going to. So
I feel like we're drilling too deep into whether or not she really needed the $3,500. My point was just that I don't think that this is that surprising for Sandoval, and that's all I said last week. And then we saw the Katie clip and Maddie was like, oh, Reed, that's what you were saying.
Kristen, but yes.
Kristen.
I will go ahead and also now pivot and talk shit a little bit. When she was saying, when people were saying this episode that like Ariana has made all this money and thrived off of the Scandoval, you know, money and gotten all these things. I thought it was a little bit hypocritical of all of them because during this whole Scandoval thing, Ariana gave them permission and encouraged them to talk about it on their podcast. So Lala on her podcast talked about Scandoval a lot. Made the Send It to Daryl, you know, sweatshirts, merch, whatever that I have now too. Made money. Everyone cashed in on Scandoval.
Uber One. Hello.
Ariana. Fucking. I mean, honestly. Yes, exactly. That's
the Uber One is good as gold.
Her commercial was not Ariana. It was Sheena and Ariana and Lala. They cashed in on that collectively together because of Scandoval. Sheena admitted that her podcast was like in the fucking trash and then she got it back up and running basically. And now it's huge because of Scandoval, because she covers Scandoval. They were all cashing in on Scandoval and Ariana gave them the green light to do that. So for her to complain too much, it's a little bit, you know, and then I thought it was very interesting how after the episode, there was a Watch What Happens Live with Ariana, which she looked horrible. Her outfit was horrible. Her hair was horrible. Her makeup was, it was bad. But that's
I thought her hair looked good.
It was not good. But then Andy posed the question, how do you feel about all of this talk when, you know, Sheena visibly cashed in on Scandoval? And Ariana was like, oh, I never thought about that way. And I was like, you never thought about it that way? Like, that's so fucking true. Like, it's so fucking true. Like,
Andy, like, basically planting seeds in her head now that he's gonna be an Ariana Sheena drama.
I think there fully is going to be. Like, I think the reunion between Ariana and Sheena is gonna be really rough because because everything that Sheena has said in her confessionals and then everything that she has said in other scenes where it's all kind of like really backhanded compliments. Like it's like
the really, backup dancer compliment.
Yeah. Like, there's just a lot of like kind of jealousy there.
I think Lala's jealous. They're all like Lala's like, just, I've never seen someone get cheated on and become God. Like they're all tired of Ariana being in the spotlight. And honestly, I kind of am too. So get her for me.
Thank God for Lala. Lala is carrying the season on her whole entire back. Honestly.
Yeah, I agree.
Honestly, she's killing it. She's being not even crazy. She's being so reasonable. She's making such good points. Her having the balls to call people out, it's like amazing.
Her and Allie, Like Allie is like, I love Allie. Allie.
Little,
like,
our little star, our little star chart. Oh my god,
she's such. She reminds me so much of my sister. Like she looks kind of like similar to my sister. They're both obsessed with astrology. Like whenever we go out, like my sister is the one at the bar, like reading some random dude's like chart. Like it is like so funny. So like, I love Allie, but I don't know. This season was the past few episodes were a little bit interesting to me, not because of like any big drama, but just like the dynamics of it all and just how Sandoval cannot, for the love of God, like he says he's taking accountability. I was like, you have not once taken accountability. Like you keep saying like you and Rachel didn't do this with the intent of hurting people. Like, I don't care that you didn't do it with the intent of hurting people. You did hurt people. Yeah. You're not acknowledging that you did hurt people. And he's like, and you guys are intentionally hurting me. And I was like, that's what happens when you cheat, babes. I don't know if you know that, but like when you cheat, people hate you and they do things with the intent to hurt you and to take you down because no one likes a fucking cheater. So like, I need you to like, just like own it. Like there's a couple Bravo levels. I can't think of like who else right now, but Sandoval especially is like, you just need to take the wax right now. Just take the wax and don't say anything.
Well, it's fascinating me how he's behaving, because it's honestly like even worse than I could have ever expected. But I have a question for you, Zach. So your sister looks like Allie. Where did the genes go wrong? Because you look nothing like her.
That's so rude.
She whacked you.
She did whack me. My sister is beautiful.
You need to sit there and take your whackings.
My sister is beautiful. She's funny. She's fun. She's like one of my best friends. She's my roommate. We live together. So
there is always like one pretty sibling. I am that in my family. So I think me and
Zach, the G
probably
pretty.
Have a lot in common.
Thank you. Reed thought I was pretty in Mexico too. Oh, but he's not going to talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
So that anyway. Is our Bandit Cup Rules segment.
So the Lala Katie drama, and it's basically Lala and Sheena versus Katie and Ariana. What? How are we feeling? Because we made a post on Instagram, said, whose side are you on? And the comments are flooded with Katie. Katie is taking over Twitter right now. Everyone's like, I always knew Katie was that girl.
I've never seen such support for Katie Maloney in my life. I'm not mad about it because I low-key am a Katie apologist. Like, I don't hate her like everybody else does. But I don't know. I see both points in the argument. I'm not I feel like I'm neither here nor there when it comes to Katie versus Lala. I feel like in Katie's sense, like Katie got berated by Sandoval. Like, Katie's relationship with Sandoval is like a whole nother thing. And then you have with Lala's situation, it's like she's always trying to relate it to her trauma and to what she went to. And then she wants to listen. I've said it before on this podcast. I'm on my own self-help journey. So I'm always like, oh, like when you're on your self-help journey and you're reading about all these things to like make you a better person, you feel the need to like throw it up over everybody that you talk to. And she's like, that's you drinking the poison is not going to kill the other person. It's going to kill you, girl. We've all read that in a self-help book. Like, we've seen that TikTok, you know, she that's just very like Lala right now. So, and then Katie, I feel like has her own like personal like biases with the whole situation. So I don't know. I feel I'm not on a side. I feel like they're both, I'm team drama, like duke it out. I'm so glad there was a goddamn fight for once. Like,
that was good
episodes.
I'm team Lala for most of this whole season, actually, but I do think that she needs to just like stop like comparing it to her situation. It's not the same at all. It never has been. And like, it's not really fair. I'll just say that. I think that she makes good points though. Just like bring it away from yourself. That's how I feel.
It's yeah.
Just, like, making good points. Don't bring it back to your situation because it's really not the same.
Well, that's what I always, that's been my whole problem with Lala. Is that like everything that, and this was like last season too, with like the mistress comments and stuff, like everything that Lala is saying is technically correct. Like, she's technically right. She's just not the one who should be the loudest person in the room saying it. That's like my point with Lala.
But she's
is like
the only one that has the balls to say it. So she,
which is frustrating, but it's like, yeah, but like she's not, she shouldn't be the messenger.
And I said this on a episode before where I was like, she's not giving herself enough credit by comparing herself to Rachel. It's like actually not even remotely the same. Like, it's like, it's
right.
Like, you entered into a relationship where you actually thought you're being naive, yes, but you thought that you were not the other woman. You thought that he was separated and getting divorced. So you did not know that you were the mistress. You didn't know that. Like, and like, she's actually close with his ex-wife now. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
She was, the ex-wife was at her kid's birthday party this last week.
Yeah. Like,
it's also like, crazy.
Different.
It's also crazy to compare because she didn't have to film with her ex 4 months later. Like, Ariana's just in a totally different situation. I appreciate what Lala's doing to kind of like bridge the gap. Be like, I know how you're feeling. I've been this, felt this way before, but it just devalues her argument when she compares it to hers because, like you guys said, it's agreed, it's nothing of the sort.
I know that it's supposed to be about their real lives, but I just can't help but resent Ariana for kind of folding up her arms and kind of pouting in the corner and refusing to do anything that involves Sandoval. And I know that in real life, like, yeah, it would be crazy to ask her to do that. And this is supposed to be a reality show, so I get it. But like, it's not enjoyable to watch. And it's like, you guys all wanted to come back after Scandoval, to Annie's point. You all cashed in on it. And now you're not like delivering. Like, it's like, we made a deal, you know?
We're, like, we're not delivering, but we can't blame Ariana for that. We have to blame Tom for that.
Well, yes.
Well, do we?
Well, Tom fucked everything up, but and it's like, yeah, like you shouldn't have to leave the show that like was your income for the past 10 years because your boyfriend like had an affair with one of your friends. So like, I understand that, but at the same time, you gotta just look at the situation and be like, is this the healthiest thing for me? And if you don't want to surround your, like, that's the reality TV realm. It's like, yes, Ariana, it sucks. Like, you're, Tom shouldn't kick you off the show, but like, you have to look at it and be like, do I want to film with this? Do I want to have a good show, or do I want to protect my peace and not hang out with people that hang out with him and have to film with him? And I think I wouldn't miss her on the show. Like, I just don't really think I would have cared. I don't know. That's just me.
So I have like one.
I would have missed her.
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense. But I have one like random thought that I have to share is that like everyone hates this season of Vanderpump Rules. I have been watching with my husband, Ben, who never watched any Vanderpump Rules until last season. So he watched that with me because it was so explosive. And he's been watching this season with me now. And he's enjoying it because he never knew what happened before. And I will say it's given.
It's because he's like a lay person who doesn't have to record it and take notes on it.
Totally. Yes. But also because he just was new to it. And so this was his first introduction was last season. So he is enjoying it, watching the fallout of what happened last season. And like, he has no expectations. He never met Stassi. He never met Kristen. He doesn't know these people. Like, so he's like enjoying it. And watching it through the lens of him has made me enjoy it more, if that makes sense. And like, I'm actually loving like watching him enjoy it. And like, he doesn't know anyone that we're missing. And he's like loving what we're seeing. And he, I don't know. It's just like, it's giving me like a kind of like a new life, like a new.
It's because he doesn't know what, like, if you're going to eat like, like eating McDonald's and never having like, you know, like a filet mignon before. Right. And you're just like, okay, like,
That's what I'm saying, though, but it's enjoyable for me to watch him watch it because we can talk about it. And he like doesn't like he's just as interested as he would have been otherwise. It's actually great. Right. And it's made me like it more. And so I'm not hating it as much as everyone else is, honestly. And it's kind of great.
That. And that is our Vanderpump Rules recap.
And that is our latest episode of It's About Bravo. Guys, all four of us on the It's About Bravo family wanted to come on the episode tonight and talk about everything that's going on Bravo right now, because it does feel like a natural end for certain shows, like Beverly Hills just ended. Miami ended last week. We've been covering Traitors on Patreon. That finally ended. There's been a lot of things ending. And then there's, of course, some things still kind of sputtering along, like Vanderpump and Maddie Sitt talking about how good Summer House is. But ultimately, we at the It's About Bravo family need to take a little break. It's just a short hiatus that's going to help us come back more recharged, more fueled, and ready to cover all the shows that we love and you guys love. And so we're planning to take about 6 weeks off here on the pod. We're still going to do bonus content on Patreon. We've been covering Drag Race and other types of things on Bravo. But we're going to take a little pause on the main feed. And we plan to return for the premiere of Jersey in early May. I want to say that's May 5th, a Sunday.
May 5th is when the Real Housewives of New Jersey will come back. And it's also going to be when It's About Bravo comes back. Now, we're still going to be on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. So make sure you're still keeping up with us on the socials and DMing us. Send us all your thoughts. We still want to hear them. We're just not going to be on the mic every week. We need a little bit of a breather, just a little bit of a break.
Yes, and while nothing is super captivating on right now, it just makes the most sense to do this now instead of doing this while there's fire content that we're missing recapping. If anything absolutely crazy pops off, we probably will hop on the mic to discuss it. But as of now, like, we need a little recharge. We need to go on, you know, spring break. Go on,
put on
fall
pause.
Break.
Put on pause, as Dorinda
would. We're getting put on pause.
As Dorinda would say. Put on pause. I mean, I think it's no secret. Like, we all have jobs and lives, and this is like the most fun thing for all of us. We have put so much time into it, and we are so appreciative that all the people that listen every week, we take a week off and we get DMs. Like, where is your episode? So it means a lot, guys. If you're supporting us on Patreon, that still goes such a long way, and just all the little things that it costs to run a podcast and keep a podcast appearing in your feeds, even when we're taking a little break. And so on Patreon, we will continue to do a lot of bonus content as we're able to. Annie, I know you and I have talked about A Love is Blind season 6. The reunion came out tonight, so maybe we can schedule that.
Yes. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm so excited.
Yeah. So we're not really going anywhere, guys. We're just taking a little breather, resetting, making sure that we're ready to hit the ground running when our beloved Housewives come back. Dubai will be back in about a month after Jersey as well. So we've got some good things to look forward to, I think.
It's not a goodbye. It's a see you later.
Oh, exactly. So lame.
Cue vitamin C. But if you guys do miss us, and if you do want to hear certain things on our Patreon channel or when we come back, please DM us. Please give us a rating on any of the podcast apps of your choice. It goes a long way. We really appreciate it.
And give us
it.
A rating of only 5 stars.
Yes.
Like, you can't rate us lower than 5 stars, please.
That would be great. That would be absolutely great. But yeah, until next time, guys, we will talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
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 See ya.